Good morning. You are listening to Raven Radio. Today is Monday, October 29th, 2012. I'm Holly Keene, and this is Raven News. There were no reports of damage or injury in Alaska after a 7.7 magnitude earthquake triggered tsunami alerts throughout the Pacific. The earthquake struck Saturday evening offshore from Haida Gwaii, formerly known as the Queen Charlotte Islands in British Columbia. It triggered tsunami warnings and evacuations along the Pacific coast, including communities south of Baranof Island. Authorities in Sitka stopped short of ordering evacuations, but did encourage residents in the harbor to leave for a while as a precautionary measure. The West Coast and Alaska Tsunami Warning Center reported wave heights under 6 inches in Alaska. They approached a foot in British Columbia and were more than 2 feet apart in parts of Hawaii. Officials at the Tsunami Warning Center in Palmer say they're still gathering information on the effects of the waves. Sitka authorities continue to look for Lael Grant, a 33-year-old woman who has been missing for nearly 2 weeks. Sitka Mountain Rescue reports that Grant was last seen at a local store on October 15th or 16th. More than 40 people have been involved in the search for Grant, which began October 19th. That includes Mountain Rescue volunteers and personnel from the Sitka Police, the Coast Guard, and the U.S. Forest Service. Mountain Rescue Captain Don Cluding says his team suspended its widespread ground search on Wednesday. They're now focusing on search efforts on particular locations based on leads gathered by Sitka Police investigators. Sitka Police Lieutenant Barry Allen says detectives are following up on every lead that they can get a hold of.
We'd like to emphasize that we have not found Ms. Grant yet, and we're still looking for input from the community and anybody else that might know anything about her whereabouts or habits or anything like that.
People with information can call Sitka Police at 747-3245 or Sitka Mountain Rescue at 752-0813. You can view a photo of Grant on our website, kcaw.org. More money is going into the House District 34 campaign than any other race in Southeast. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld takes a look at some of the details from campaign finance reports filed with the state.
Changing legislative boundaries combined Sitka with much of the old Southeast Islands House District. That's the one that includes Haines, Craig, Metlakatla, Hoonah, Angoon, and some other small cities. State campaign finance reports show incumbent Haines Republican Representative Bill Thomas in the lead, with about $83,000 in contributions. That's about 40% more than his Democratic opponent, Sitka's Jonathan Christ Tompkins. Together, they've raised about $130,000, making this the most expensive Southeast race. Thomas lost Yakutat, Skagway, and Cordova from his old district, but he gained Sitka, where half the new area's constituents live, including his opponent. He says that means a more expensive advertising campaign.
You know, we didn't lose any newspapers. We ended up gaining more newspapers and bigger towns and other things that we haven't done before, so it's going to be spendy.
This is Christ Tompkins' first legislative race, so he also needs to raise a significant amount of money to make his presence known. His approximately $48,000 campaign war chest is far behind Thomas's, but he says it's not as large a gap as it seems.
What you're really seeing is the advantages of incumbency in that you can raise $40,000 before you have an opponent. And that's the reason why there's this cash discrepancy. If it started from June 1st, which is when we filed, we'd be up a few thousand.
Democratic Party organizations gave Christ Tompkins $8,000. State employee unions, teachers, and other political action committees contributed another $4,000. Together, they add up to about a quarter of his overall campaign contributions. Christ Tompkins acknowledges he has less to spend in the House District 34 race, but he says his cadre of volunteers is giving him more bang for his buck.
We have a really grassroots-oriented campaign, and it's basically people talking with people, which we feel is also, you know, the kind of politics we believe in.
Christ Tompkins points to a higher percentage of district contributions than Thomas, many of them relatively small. The Democrats gotten money from the Southeast Alaska Saners and the United Fishermen of Alaska, and he's claimed more donations from individual commercial fishermen since he filed. Republican Thomas, a gillnetter, longliner, and shrimper, disagrees.
He claims he has more fish money, but then you look at his sublines and it's been raised since the general campaign. I've raised almost 11 grand from the fishermen over the 2 years, but it depends on when you report it. So he's playing words pretty good.
Campaign finance reports for the full fundraising season show Thomas with more donations from individual fishermen. The Haines incumbent attracted more than $17,000 from his party's and other groups' political action committees. About a fifth of that came from the GOP. The rest included labor organizations, oil PACs, dentists, contractors, and the hospitality industry. Overall, PACs and the party contributed about 20% of Thomas's campaign funds. That's a larger total, but a smaller percentage than Christ Tompkins. Those figures do not include executives or other employees of those groups or companies, so they could be larger. Despite his incumbency and higher campaign war chest, Thomas thinks of himself as the underdog in the race. Among other things, he has knee problems that limit one-on-one campaigning, a major part of Christ Tompkins' strategy.
He was able to bang at all the doors this summer because I was fishing and I don't think he was working. So big difference in lifestyles.
Christ Tompkins says he did work, though he wasn't paid, managing a pair of nonprofit programs that bring college students to Sitka to volunteer and share their skills. As the campaign wraps up, Thomas says his main job is to convince voters of the power of incumbency. That includes his budget writing duties as co-chairman of the House Finance Committee and his record of funding community projects. Christ Tompkins says he'll bring a new approach to representing the new district and will take different stands on education and other parts of the budget. And he's close to his goal of meeting the majority of its population.
To be a representative, I think it's really important to know who you're going to represent, and this door-to-door component of the campaign in every community, knocking on every door that's possible, has been a central component of the campaign.
Thomas says he's met with his district's leaders and other constituents during his four terms in office, and he's reached out to Sitkins during this campaign. The most recent finance reports, released earlier this month, show a significant part of the $130,000 or so Christ Tompkins and Thomas raised was spent on travel, including room and board. That total is more than double the funds raised in the Southern Southeast House race between Republican Peggy Wilson, Democrat Matt Olson, and Independent Kyle Johansson. It's almost a third more than the Senate District Q race between Republican Bert Stedman and Democrat Albert Kukesh. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
The results are in from a survey designed to measure how students and teachers feel about the climate at school buildings in Sitka. The School Climate and Connectedness Survey asked nearly 450 students in middle and high school how they felt about various aspects of life in their school building. Some 66 staff members were also surveyed. Nearly 60% of students said they agreed or strongly agreed that they were held to high expectations. Nearly two-thirds agreed that schools are safe. But roughly the same percentage of students had mixed feelings on how respectful and helpful students were to one another. They also had mixed feelings about the involvement of parents and the community in local schools. Claire Richardson works for the Association of Alaska School Boards and presented the results earlier this week to Sitka's board. She says the survey measures feelings and perceptions, but the results help schools improve performance, too.
The more that a student is connected to their school with high expectations, safety, peer respect, adult respect, the better they'll do academically and the better they'll do in life itself. The more they're connected, the better they're going to perform.
Sitka's results show improvements from the last time the district was surveyed in 2006. District Superintendent Steve Bradshaw says he's pleased with the results.
People's perception is their truth, in my mind. And so if they feel that or they believe that this is a positive, good environment, I believe it's going to be a positive and good environment for them, and it's also going to be more productive.
But he also says there are definite areas for improvement, such as how students feel about school leadership and whether they're involved in decisions about their school. You can view the entire report and all the results. We've posted a link on our website, kcaw.org. There was a settlement this week in the ongoing saga between the city of Wrangell and its embattled hospital's former leadership. The city accepted a settlement offer from former Wrangell Medical Center Administrator Noel Sealeray and six recalled members of the hospital's board. KSTK's Ariel Van Cleve has the story.
The borough of Wrangell had filed suit in July against Cellaray and the former board members. It was seeking the repayment of more than $520,000 given to Cellaray as a severance package, as well as legal fees. The settlement agreement requires $250,000 to be returned to the city and the dismissal of the borough's lawsuit along with Cellaray's counterclaim. Dropping both suits means neither the borough nor the recalled board members or Cellaray can seek additional payments. According to borough manager Tim Rooney, both parties also must agree to an anti-disparagement clause.
Our community has struggled emotionally since the events of the evening of June 20th, and I'm looking forward to a time of healing and the bright future ahead of us.
Rooney says he's been advised by borough attorney Bob Blasco to not discuss the case. Blasco was not available for comment in time for the story. In March of this year, the Wrangell Medical Center Board voted to provide Cellaray with a $1.2 million severance package. A provision of that contract said the first payment was to be made on the 60th day after the date of termination, and Cellaray was required to sign an agreement not to sue prior to receiving the payment. Less than 3 months later, the community voted to recall 8 of the 9 board members. One day after the election, and before the results were certified, the board held a public meeting where members made a motion to terminate Cellaray's contract and named hospital CFO Olinda White as acting administrator. According to the borough's complaint, members instructed White to write a check to Cellaray for roughly $520,000. The following day, the former hospital board president directed White to cancel the check and instead wire the funds directly to Cellaray's account. The borough did attempt to stop that payment, but failed. Officials then requested Cellaray return the money, but he did not. The settlement agreement will be made public once all parties have signed documents and all court papers have been filed. In Wrangell, I'm Ariel Van Cleve.
And that's all for Raven News. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW Sitka.